Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Liberty Bigley podcast. I'm your host, as always, Patrick McFarlane. And congratulations, if you're listening to this, it means that you didn't stop listening to the show after I questioned the almighty non-aggression principle in the last episode. We're going to be exploring more and more about that and criticisms of the NAP. As I noted in the last episode, I think it's pretty dang important to question your base assumptions and base beliefs from time to time, remain open-minded, and recommit yourself perhaps to those ideas, but to always be evaluating all of the counter arguments and stay up to date on that. So I'm hoping that this will work, but if I back out of Anchor, the app on my phone, it will keep recording. Okay, good. Because I have a news article to look at for this episode on my phone, and I hope that if I'm scrolling and tapping the screen, it doesn't interrupt the recording at all. I love Anchor, by the way, and Anchor, just a brief aside here, on Anchor FM, there's an app on your phone that lets you do this. So I'm recording on my phone right now, and it publishes right away. And you can do other stuff. You can have listeners drop audio messages in to you and submit it through the app, and you can put it right in the episode. And you can invite people through the Anchor app to podcast with you on their own phone. And so it's really cool. And even if you have a very small listener audience, Anchor will advertise and let advertisers bid on you. And it's really cool. Anyways, so now that that's out of the way, this episode is a little bit of a potpourri. I have a few random thoughts, but the first thought and the first major theme of this episode is going to be the absolute paternalism of the state and the condescending paternalism of the state, and the pretentiousness of the state. And this is kind of framed as usually now the only time that I really have to listen to podcasts is when I'm doing chores around the house or when I'm commuting. And I don't always listen to podcasts when I commute because when I stopped podcasting for a while, for the last 3 or 4 months, I found that if I didn't surround myself in politics all the time, that my mental health was a lot better and I wasn't being anxious quite as often. So that time away, I think I really was able to distance myself from it. And now, even though I'm still kind of listening to politics, I don't think it affects me as much. So in that time away, I'm happy to say that I believe that it really caused me to emotionally detach a lot more from libertarianism as being some kind of base identity, so that when people were criticizing libertarianism, it's not that I believed they were criticizing me directly. I think it's pretty important to separate yourself from that that line of thinking, so you're a lot less stressed that way if you're able to separate your identity from these ideas. And moreover, I've said on the show before that I think when you're so wrapped up singularly, when your identity is completely defined by a certain aspect of what your interests are, that's kind of unhealthy, and it makes you less interesting as a person. So if, for instance, you're all about crocheting and your entire personality, crocheting is all you talk about, crocheting is all you do, all your friends are based around crocheting, I don't know, it's not super duper interesting. And I guess that's just an example. So anyways, on the way home, I was listening to the new Dave Smith, Part of the Problem, because Dave is one of the only podcast I still listen to on. I listen to every episode that comes out without fail. But he was talking about the year in review, or at least the first two decades of the 21st century in review, now that we're coming to 2020. And let me make sure I'm still recording here. We are coming to 2020. Yes, it's still working. We are coming to 2020 and talking about the two decades in review and how the United States is a completely different country than what it was before 9/11. And Dave remembers that time before 9/11. And they kind of get to talking, him and Robbie the Fighter, and Dave talks about how being he's an adult now, and he's 36 years old. He has a kid, which these are all things he, if you listen to POTP, you know, these are things he mentions quite often. But he was saying that basically you're always a kid. And when you're an adult, you kind of pretend to kids that you have control of the situation and you know what's going on. And the secret is, and any of you out there who are in a, you've been an adult for some time, or you're probably a, if not, you're probably a young adult. There probably aren't any like young teenagers or children listening to this show, but you really realize that there's no such thing as being an adult. Everyone is just a kid in an adult body trying to figure their shit out and, you know, find their place in the world. And they get overwhelmed by things just as children do. And they, in some ways, fake it until you make it is kind of a thing that people say. I think there's some truth to it. But once you get past, it's important, though, to get past the faking it and actually getting to the make it part. But I wanted to expand a little bit on this idea that Dave Smith had, because he, I think, struck a chord with this idea that everyone is just a child on the inside, but that I think, in a lot of ways, because everyone is just a child on the inside, they're just children in adult bodies, most people perhaps haven't really grown up past the point where, right, because the object of being a parent is to produce a child who is independent, I think. And if you haven't produced offspring that become self-sufficient, then you have, they could be terrible people, but if they're self-sufficient, at least from an evolutionary standpoint, you've produced offspring, you've done your job as a parent. The goal, evolutionarily, biologically speaking, is to produce offspring that are capable of sustaining their own life, right? And maybe in them producing offspring that they are then able to support and propagate the species, or to propagate your genes, if you think about it that way. Maybe, perhaps, many people have failed in this respect of producing children who biologically are able to exist on their own, be self-sufficient, and to raise and provide for offspring. And in our society, it seems like, unconsciously, perhaps, these people know that they're not self-sufficient on their own, so they rely, or they know that they're not grown up, rather, and they long for the days that they had a parental figure as a safety net or a backdrop or someone to assist them in self-sufficiency. So, therefore, essentially, the state comes in as this paternalistic force that will be their parents. Maybe they have parents who are still alive, but ultimately, you know, you become a parent and your parents maybe fade from the picture or are no longer able to support you in any way, because I guess adults who have parents who are still alive, you realize that they never stop being your parent in some ways, and they're always or they should be, or they, if they're a decent parent, they help you in the ways that they can, watching and providing for children and whatnot. But I think people who never really grow up are always yearning for that parental authority figure, and the state is there. So essentially, the kernel of the thought is that the state is just parents for parents, if that makes any sense. And I think there's no really better evidence for this than this article that I found. Now, in Wisconsin, there is this program run by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And this is the wedding, because this is an idea that I wanted to talk about on the show for quite a while, but I didn't know how to get any facts on it. And it just so happens that tonight I was driving on the highway listening to Dave Smith talk about the paternalism of the state, or at least talk Dave have this aside thought about children never really growing up, just turning into adults in children's bodies, which is so true, and I think every adult knows that to be true. It's a realization you make as you grow up. But on this highway that I'm talking about, there's this sign, and this sign has a digital display on it. It's one of those signs that have like the ticker tape you can program. It's like an alarm clock reading, or on your microwave, it'll say things. It's in that digital font. And it's past my bedtime. But it has this ticker tape on it, and the DOT has programmed these condescending, paternalistic messages on the ticker tape. They're like public service announcements, but they're always condescending. So let's see. I'll read some of the article here. This is an article from CBS 58 from Milwaukee, and the article is entitled "Clever Highway Safety Signs Hold Serious Messages for Drivers." As if these signs themselves are not distractions for drivers on the roadway who should be paying attention to driving and not reading paternalistic, condescending signs from the frickin' DOT, right? So this is a story from April 23rd, 2018. Their purpose is to get a message across in just 12 seconds, and officials say they have saved lives. Okay, where's the evidence for that? CBS 58's Lindsay Branwell goes inside the brainstorming process and met with the team responsible for the DOT messages signs drivers see on the highway. That's a typo. So when Star Wars came out in 2017, the message on the sign said, quote, "Trust the Force, but always buckle up." During the Pokemon Go craze, quote, "Drive now, catch Pokemon later," was the not-so-subtle request for drivers. Quote, "Camp in the woods, not in the left lane," was the summer suggestion that got quite a reaction on Reddit. Like, are you fucking kidding me with these messages? And I remember, like, throughout the years, I've seen these messages on Wisconsin highways. And just every time I see it, just ask my wife, I get freaking enraged about, like, how, like, authoritarian, condescending, paternalism. I'm just at a loss for words to try and describe how ridiculous these signs are. "Trust the Force, but always buckle up." "Drive now, catch Pokemon later." "Camp in the woods, not in the left lane." It's like, I don't know, these are things like a hostage, someone who takes a hostage, like, orders their hostages to do. All of the messages came straight from the Wisconsin DOT. Thank God. And there's a link to a tweet that says, "Wisconsin DOT, don't let LOL, laugh out loud, mean loss of life. Don't text and drive. For God's sake." One Reddit user asked, quote, "Is there a centralized clever sign department somewhere?" The answer to that question is yes. There's probably a whole team whose only responsibility is to freaking create these stupid traffic signs? The answer to that question is yes. It happens at the Wisconsin DOT Traffic Management Center in Milwaukee. The day CBS 58 visited, the message had to do with construction zone safety. See orange cones, put down the phone, is the text that reads. Here's another tweet from Wisconsin DOT. Caution, drivers, be aware of pedestrians emerging from hibernation. Heads up, phones down. And there's a picture of someone walking and texting. Like, good Lord. And people think that, I would assume that most people think that, oh, this is just an amusing and clever way. I mean, hence the title of the article. This is a clever way to get the DOT's message of safety across. Hurdy burp derp. Scott Nauman isn't making the messages up on the fly. A committee meets every 3 to 6 months. What messages? Wow, this is a horribly written article. Is there no copy editor at this Channel 58? We came up, Scott Nauman isn't making the messages up on the fly. A committee meets every 3 to 6 months. What messages will make it onto the highway message boards? Sick. We came up with these creative PSAs to get people's attention, says Lieutenant Nathan Clark with the Wisconsin State Patrol. They've really become a public safety tool more than anything. But how did Wisconsin DOT get the idea? Well, just follow the roadmap all the way to Ames, Iowa. The Iowa DOT started putting messages up in 2013 as a way to lighten the mood when displaying the fatality count. Right. Read that again. As a way to lighten the mood when displaying the fatality count while still getting a safe driving message across. They're the ones that came up with messages like, quote, nobody puts baby in a hot car. And the more controversial, quote, get your head out of your apps, drive safely. Oh my God. When we started realizing that those bolder messages were the ones that were resonating, then we kept going with those. No hulking out on Iowa highways at Avengers, hashtag Infinity War. 75 traffic deaths this year. We only need one Hulk. Control the road rage. Yeah, right? Like, as if any of these deaths are attributable to road rage. Another Reddit user says, I prefer the silly signs over the don't drink and drive types, and that's exactly what the DOT wants. It doesn't matter which highway sign displays the sign, each comes with the same message. If we can get people talking about what we're trying to get the message out for, you've actually succeeded in our mission. These quotes, copy editing. If you don't drive by one of the signs daily, the messages are often shared on the DOT's Twitter account. I'm sorry about the yawning, if that pisses anyone off. This is the B-side show, folks. Let's see if I can play the video.
If the driver next to you in rush hour traffic is smiling, it might be because of the message that just flashed on one of those digital road signs over the freeway. This morning, Lindsay Branwall meets the Highway Heralds, who come up with the clever messages and discovers what inspired them.
I hope this is working, by the way.
Trust the force, but always buckle up, is what Wisconsin drivers saw on Star Wars Day. Remember that distraction Pokemon Go, drive now, catch Pokemon later, was the not-so-subtle request for drivers. How about camp in the woods, not in the left lane? The summer suggestion got quite the reaction on Reddit. All the messages came straight from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Surprised anyone knows what
One
Reddit
Reddit
is.
User asked, is there a centralized clever sign department somewhere? The answer to that question, yes.
You can just select that sign. Click a button here to put up a message.
It happens at the Wisconsin DOT Traffic Management Center in Milwaukee. The day we visited, the message had to do with construction zone safety.
So we type our message, and then we can just set a
wonder
time
how much
that we
fucking
want it to expire,
time
and then just click send.
This.
It's Scott Nauman isn't making this up on the fly. A committee meets every 3 to 6 months to brainstorm what messages will make it onto the highway message boards.
We came up with these creative PSAs to get people's attention. They've really become a public safety tool more than anything.
But how did Wisconsin DOT get this idea? You can follow the roadmap all the way down to Ames, Iowa.
We're all horrible things.
The Iowa DOT started putting these messages up in 2013 as a way to lighten the mood when displaying the fatality count.
That number is just way too high.
But still get a safe driving message across. They're the ones that came up with messages like,
nobody puts baby in a hot car.
And a little more controversial, get your head out of your apps.
When we started realizing that those bolder messages were the ones that were resonating, then we kept going with those.
Another Reddit user says, I prefer the silly signs over the don't drink and drive types. And that's exactly what the DOT wants. But it doesn't matter which highway displays the sign.
I don't know. Anyways, everything, you know, it's funny that they would bring up. It's funny they would bring up Reddit because Redditors are pretty much hive-minded, state bootlicking progressive types who just love a feel-good story like this about a useless branch of the DOT creating these freaking ridiculous patronizing messages, treating everyone like they're infants, which, you know, on some level people are. But yeah, geez. So I think this episode is about 20 minutes long. The other thought that I had regarded aliens, so Tim Pool had a YouTube video today talking about how in 2019 there's been a record number of credible UFO sightings and speculation about whether or not extraterrestrials will reveal themselves to the world. And I thought it was funny because I've mentioned aliens on the podcast in the past, this podcast, the B-Side podcast, and I was talking about, I don't know if it was Bob Lazar or someone who Joe Rogan had on the show, and I really want Richard Dolan because Richard Dolan is my favorite UFO guy. I really want Richard Dolan to go on Joe Rogan, and I don't know if he's gone on Joe Rogan before, but I suspect that Richard Dolan is a libertarian-ish type, because he's done a lot of work on how corrupt the alphabet soup agencies are, and he's done a lot of parallel podcasts and YouTube series and presentations about how, about false flags and how prevalent they are in society and how dangerous they are. So I would suspect he might be red-pilled on 9/11 or some other issues. So I think he's a fellow traveler in a certain way. But James Corbett, on the other hand, and I think James Corbett and Richard Dolan, I would like to see James Corbett record or a show with Richard Dolan and about false flags. I think that'd be super interesting. Or for Corbett to talk to Richard Dolan about how Corbett thinks that the UFO question is a psyop, essentially, and how the way that Corbett hypothesizes it, and I think I mentioned this on the other episode of this show, is that the UFO, there's no such thing as UFOs, or at least not in the way that we, you know, in popular culture have related to them or portrayed them, but that rather UFOs are a psyop by the government to, that really all the UFO sightings are just secret black ops technology that the government has, but moreover that there will be a unifying event, as Paul Krugman explains in the alien invasion being a boon to the economy. But there will be a unifying event when the day of reckoning comes, when all of the financial systems collapse because it's all based on House of Cards. And when everything goes to shit, all of a sudden it will be, oh, you know, the aliens are here either to save us under a one world government, or the aliens are here. Everything needs to be different now. Like, the world has changed. We need to evolve into being one people united under a single government. Or the aliens are here and they're attacking us and invading, so we need to band together under one unified government to fight them, or something like that. So I just thought it was an interesting, funny little thought that I had about how, you know, Tim Pool is talking about aliens, and everyone's talking about aliens this year, and how alien sightings are going up, and Tom DeLonge is on Joe Rogan talking about To the Stars Academy, and Bob Lazar is on talking about his crazy, I don't know if I believe Bob Lazar, but, and there's that other guy who's really weird. This Bob Lazar, I think, is more credible than this other really weird guy who's a doctor, and I can't remember his name right now, but his claims are just so outrageous that they're pretty unbelievable. And he's always referring to these documents that he has and how he's prepped certain alphabet soup agency people about the alien question, but in reality he's nobody except this ER doctor from somewhere, and I just can't remember his name. But so anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode and think a bit more about these. If you have these paternalistic, just annoying ass signs on the highway, I mean, it really just encompasses how the state, I don't know, wants to treat you like you're incapable of handling your own business. And on the other hand, this society has produced tons of people who are actually incapable of handling their own business. There's tons of other examples, but moreover, if someone has decided that they want to, I mean, it's one thing when you're texting and driving, and I mean, all this could be solved if the roadways were just private. They could have their own enforcement mechanisms for these issues. But it's one thing if people want to take their safety into their own hands and do that. But it's another thing to patronize these people on the road. That doesn't even make sense, what I just said. But anyways, it's time for night. But thanks again for listening to the show. What do you think about these road signs? Would it be different if the roads were private and the roadways had signs like this that tried to warn people? Do you think that these signs would be unnecessary if the roads were private and people would have incentive to drive safe without these paternalistic and patronizing road signs? So, I'd like to see some numbers on how effective these are. Anyways, you know how to support the show, patreon.com/libertyweekly. Like, review this podcast. I don't know if I have any reviews yet. Subscribe to the show, tell friends about it, share it, all that good stuff. Thanks.